Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents by parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. As always, this is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. That's 510-770-1550. On previous episodes of this show, we've talked about subjects like stress, homework and bullying. Parenting, at least in this modern age, can feel like an incredibly overwhelming job. In this job, we are supported by our partners, our spouses who share the work, provide the emotional support, and build a financial foundation for our children's future. But what if circumstances have led you to be a single parent? There are so many decisions to be taken every day and so many curveballs thrown by our kids as they grow and rebel and have their unique issues. It must be incredibly tough to have to face all that on your own. Single parenting is our topic for today, and we will be talking to two single parents as well as a family psychologist on the challenges of single parenting. I would love to hear from you listeners about your own experiences as well as your thoughts and ideas for single parents. And even if you are not a single parent, you may know someone who could be helped by the ideas on this show. Call us with your thoughts at 510-770-1550. Here in the studio with us today are Anju and Parul, both single parents. Anju is the mom of two daughters, 18 and 16, and she works with special needs kids. And Parul is the mom of an 18-year-old son. She works at Stanford and has been an educator for 30 years. Welcome, Anju and Parul. And we also have with us in the studio today Dr. Lina Atul Khanzode, who is a psychiatrist with a private practice in San Jose and a family psychologist who works with the Bay Area Children's Coalition in Cupertino. Welcome, Lina.
Thank you for having me again.
Very few of us plan to be single parents. Anju and Parul, would you be comfortable sharing your story on how you became a single parent? Anju, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I would like to share how I became a single parent.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate, and
yeah, we you know, it was the usual not being able to reconcile to a lot of things, and it was a hard decision.
So it was a divorce?
Yes, it was a divorce.
Divorce
it
that
was
made
a hard decision, but I guess it had to be done.
Right. Parul, what about you?
It was a divorce, and this happened when my son was around 4. We had been thinking about it for a couple of years, and we did try to work on, you know, continuing in this relationship as a married couple. Gave it all that we could and realized at some point that it was actually probably healthier for everyone if we just parted ways. And, you know, we did agree that co-parenting would end up being in some ways more work than being together, but for everyone's psychological well-being, that was the best decision. It was a hard one, and you know, we've come a long way, and he's almost 18 now.
It is a tough decision.
It's a journey that, you know, you think you're getting away from something, but also I think on the other side, you have to realize that there is a big commitment if you have children that you are going to really have to work with your ex
To make it work.
To make this work for your child.
And Anju, how old were your kids when you became a single parent?
This was when my daughter just started, older one just started freshman year, and the younger one was in the seventh grade.
In the seventh grade. Lina, is this phenomenon of single parenting, is that growing in the Indian community? Is it?
Yes, I would say, you know, it's definitely growing in the last few years. You know, it's been interesting that a lot of families come to see, and you know, they come naturally to see a person who can understand the culture and, you know, the Indian background, and so a lot of them come and, you know, have had made a decision about separation or are in a dilemma about what's the best thing to do. So yeah.
So it's a growing phenomenon, would you say? Is it more common now than maybe you saw it a decade or two ago?
Absolutely, yes.
So it's a challenge that I think our community, people in our community are beginning to deal with, this phenomenon of being a single parent.
Yeah.
So Anju and Parul, I want to ask you both, you know, what is the arrangement with your ex when it comes to having the kids and co-parenting?
Co-parenting.
Yes. Parul, yeah.
So I think the younger the child, I mean, I can tell you about ours with my son. The younger the child, I think the frequency is more important because a whole week of not seeing a parent is really hard for a young child. So just coming up with an arrangement where they can see each other more frequently is important. But as they get older and the school commitments and after-school schedules are so busy that it just makes more sense to have like a midweek maybe, and that's what we did actually, and every other weekend. So we did a 70-30 where I have him for 70% and dad has him for 30.
Was it an arrangement you were able to negotiate amicably? Was it something that both of you wanted? That's how you wanted it to be?
Yes. We worked together and we actually had a mediator. Okay. And we really wanted to do this in the best possible way because we knew it was going to be hard and we didn't want to add more, you know, stress to this
on the kids
or him. And so we just figured out a way that would work. And fortunately for us, we were able to do that. And he actually was able to accommodate to this. Initially, it was really hard, you know, not having seen his mother for, you know, even 2 days was hard. But, you know, I think most importantly, it's like working together and really being cognizant of the fact that it's not about you and me at this point. It's really about your child. And that, I think, is the most important thing that I think parents need to remember, to keep their agenda out of those conversations that you end up having to have with your exes, either in front of your child or even not, because they pick up on that. And that's hard. That's really, I mean, it's hard enough, like I said, and then adding those layers just makes it really, really, really a struggle for them. Yeah.
And Anju, what about you? What was the co-parent? What is the co-parenting arrangement?
Well, we started with half time and half time, a week here and a week there, just because we thought, oh, kids need to be spending equal time with both of us. But it didn't work out at all.
Okay.
It was very stressful for the kids, you know, taking their bags for the whole week and not seeing, being able to see
the continuity.
The continuity was, we thought would be, that's the way to continue it, but it didn't work at all. And I had moved to near their school in Palo Alto. And so it was very hard for them to commute from their father's house from San Jose to Palo Alto.
I see.
During that whole week. So it was just easier to, for their emotional well-being, to make it 70-30 like Paro's, or, you know, ours was almost 70-30. So that's how it's been since.
It's ended up as a 70-30, even though it started off as a 50-50.
Yeah, it was a battle. That one was a battle too, because...
And I guess single parenting brings with it, I mean, there were so many aspects to this. There is the logistical aspect, which I think with kids today and their schedules, it's an enormously challenging thing. There's financial, there's emotional. There's a bunch of stuff we need to talk about, and Lina, I'd love your opinion on that. Let's take a quick break. We'll take a few commercials and a song, and we'll get back. And as always... Our number here is 510-770-1550, and we'd love to hear from listeners about their experiences. Welcome back to Parent Talk with your host, Vidya. Today, we're talking about single parenting, and I have with me in the studio Anju and Parul, who are both single parents, who have been single parents for a while, and Dr. Lina Atul Khanzode, who's a psychiatrist and a psychologist who's helping us with this issue today. Thank you all for being on the show. Before the show, we just learned a little bit about how you became single parents and what the arrangements were with your exes about sharing the time spent with the children. During the break, we also we got a call in from Tanya, who's also a single parent and has been one for a while. She unfortunately couldn't stay with us on the call, but she wanted to just extend her best wishes to the single parents on today's show and say that she really empathizes with their dilemma. And she mentioned a few social issues revolving around single parenting, which we'll get to a little bit later. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about the financial challenges of being a single parent. You'd think that really not much has changed in the purely financial sense. That's a sense you would get, because here are a mother and father originally getting together for the purpose of raising their child. And when they separate, and that separation has something to do with their relationship, really it shouldn't have a financial impact on the child. And I wanted to get your experiences, both Anju and Parul, about Was it a seamless transition, just the financial part of it? And Parul, would you like to go first on that?
Yeah, I think we're lucky that we're in California, which is a 50-50 state. So if you have good representation, at least that initial part of dividing whatever whatever is on the table, the mother, both parents get half of that. And then the court system usually comes up with a figure depending on both spouses' earning capacity and then the child's age. And I think it's mainly it's around the custody percentage, and that's how it's decided.
Right.
However, not everything is as clear and as open and as clean as I'm making it out to be, and sometimes not everything is disclosed, and sometimes it is hard to actually maintain that standard of life for your child.
Anju, is that your experience as well, that it's not as seamless as it should be because both parents are, after all, looking out for the interests of their children?
It was actually a wake-up call for me. Uh-huh. That's what I thought, that California, everything was, 50-50 and everything was clean-cut.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like Parul said, there are things which are not disclosed and under the table stuff going on. You can never get to that. In fact, there's a lot of it that you cannot go to if you can, get stuck in a situation where.
So even though the court has mandated it, it's not necessary that the partners will live up to their commitments.
No.
Is that what happens?
Right.
I want to talk a little bit more about then how you coped and how you managed. But before that, I just want to get some input from Dr. Kanzore on this. After all, the fight is between the parents. Why does it reflect on what is needed for the children? Why do parents feel that? And I don't want to generalize it by gender. It can be either way. But, why do dads or moms not keep that first in mind, in that, after all, the money is going for the child's education, for its future, for his or her needs? What goes through the mind of the fighting spouses at that point?
It's a very interesting question, Vidya. I think in divorces, I have seen families with different kinds of backgrounds on this, and so there when there is a mutual decision of separation and it's really clean cut and the parents have the best interest of the child in their mind, actually it's not an issue. But on the other hand, if the divorce itself was pretty nasty and there was a lot of built up hatred during the process, then it trickles down to every aspect of separation, including financial, social, emotional, every aspect of it. So it's really sad that, parents, when they are together, they don't count how much money they are spending for the child. But when they separate, they are now counting every penny that's going towards the child's activities or school or whatever. And, there have been a lot of differences, particularly when it comes to extracurricular activities.
You don't approve.
One parent approves, other parent says, no, it's too expensive. And why does the child need this? I'd rather have them do something else, and it's in between that, all of this, the child is completely crushed. It's just.
Parul, if you can just share your experience on when the custody hearing went out and the judge decided, and it sounds like you had a more open division at that point in time. What are the factors that the judge takes into account? Lena here is talking about, that the parent doesn't approve of certain activities the child is doing, and therefore there may be some resistance to providing the financial support for that activity. But when the child is young and the parents have made the decision to separate young, when the child is young, how does the judge take into account future activities? Is there some mediation, or this is entirely left to the parents to decide?
I think the court comes up with definitely and anything above the child support for the child's extracurricular activities, summer camps, music classes, all those things are to be shared by both parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what had been decided. So I think it's each case by case kind of thing. And I think also the parents' input as to how much the parent or the father who is going to be giving that extra money is wanting to be involved in. And there's certain parents who just say, this is all I can afford and no more. And so it's
right.
really, it's a combination of mediation and the court system together, working towards the best interest of the child. But
right.
it's only till 18. And it changes over time because the father might lose his job or, you know, he might get, you know, whatever. There are the financial stresses even that the parent mm-hmm. who's providing can happen.
Right.
And so we
right.
have to go back and redo the whole custody.
So this arrangement is not a one-time thing. You keep going back whenever there is a disagreement, and you have the option of going back.
And unfortunately, a lot of money is lost in this whole system of paying the lawyers the money. And if one
right.
can just come to an understanding amongst yourselves and keep that money for yourselves and for your children, I think that would be better off. So in the long run, it only benefits us if we all work together.
Right.
Because the
and
lawyers
don't
take
get
like
a lawyer
so
involved.
Much money. And if you can, and like, you know, Lena said, it's all about the history behind the relationship and how hurt you are, and trying to keep your ego aside and be the mature one and say, okay, is my ego more important here, or that $90,000 that someone's just going to pocket, and that $90,000 could be used for us?
That's a funny thing. We had an episode on divorce recently, and the divorce lawyer who was on the show, family lawyer who was on the show, he actually said that when the couple actually figures out how much they're going to be paying me, they're much more motivated to sit down and work it out, because
right.
it's otherwise going to me and something they could have used for the kids.
Right. Yeah. And so mediation is a great way to go there.
Great way to go. So Anju, I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about, you know, a situation that didn't go well. And I really appreciate you sharing with us, you know, what went wrong with the financial original planning. So can you tell us a little bit more about
Lena
that?
Yeah, like Lena said, you know, it trickles down, everything trickles down to at the end of, you know, how it, all the animosity that goes with the divorce, the anger. And I think it becomes more like, this is my money. Why should I give it to her? In my case, and I know in many other cases, the kids become secondary.
So is it because money is fungible, or is it because they're not paying directly to the child's activity? Would that make it a little bit easier?
That can be worked out to be paid directly. You know, we have done that too, half and half and stuff. But then it could also be, I'm not going to do it. That's what your support is for.
Oh, so you figure it out with your slice of the pie or
not
whatever.
Not understanding that support is actually not just for activities. You support the other partner, mother or father, whoever is giving the support. It's not for activities. It's
right.
for other things that you provide for, food, rent. You know, there are so many other things that go with bringing up your children. And as they grow, their needs get bigger too.
Did the kids, and I'm going to ask this question to both you and Parul, did the kids sense it? Did they feel the impact?
They sense it. Yeah, the kids sense it. My kids sensed it from the day one. They don't even ask for things that they feel either will not be provided by mm-hmm. one parent or would be too stressful to bring up to the other parent. You know, working on capacity of what your parent can, which parent can provide how much. So they know which parents.
They figure it out early enough.
Yeah,
what
understand.
About you, Parul?
I think they do. And I think the younger the child, it's our responsibility as parents to kind of shield them from picking up the financial stress, because the emotional, psychological stress is enough for a young child to handle. And so I think we need to introduce that little by little in a realistic fashion as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking up anyway. To really have those really honest conversations with them, but not let them feel that it's they who have to compromise and they who have to then give up things for things that parents made a decision about their lives. But they do anyway.
They do figure it out.
Yeah.
And Lena, what is the best way to deal with your child saying, but why can't mom pay for it, or why can't dad pay for it, or how come he's doing this but he doesn't have money? So you obviously have, if there is a disagreement about money, obviously the relationship is not as smooth as you would ideally like it to be. But how do you make the ex not to be the villain in the story, but still try to communicate? Because you don't want that, right? Ideally, I'm assuming that. Let me add some assumption I'm making, that you don't want to say bad things about the dad or the mom. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle these disagreements with your children? What do you say to them?
You made a good point. I think it's extremely important to not bad mouth or create, you know, more resentment in the child's mind towards the other parent. And I was at on the divorce show earlier with you a few weeks ago, and we talked about there's actually a concept in psychology. It's called parental alienation syndrome, where one parent is trying to alienate the child from another parent by poisoning their mind, you know, quote unquote, poisoning their mind about, I wanted to send you to this camp, but dad is not paying for it, something. So I think it's extremely unfair, on the part of both parents to do that. It's important, you know, sometimes it's like the ground reality is that, yeah, you know, it's this activity costs a lot, and include, you know, even if I consider other parents' support in this, it's just, you know, too much for us to afford right now. And I think it's important to be realistic and honest about this with the child and tell them, you know, what these are our constraints right now, so how about we sign up for this camp instead of this, rather than, you know, saying things about the other partner.
It's a very tough, very tough, thin line to straddle. There are also so many other issues, the logistical and the social. I want to take another break, and right after the break we'll be talking some more with our parents and our panel. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to Parent Talk.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, who's this? Can you give me a name?
My name is Gurmeet.
Gurmeet.
I have a question for you. I don't know. Talk about the children.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, my person is a totally different. I don't know for that part, you know. I have a divorce for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife lives here, and my ex-wife lives here in the Dublin. But she moved for the children. She told me to sign up the paper for the Michigan. I say I don't want to do the sign up the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Then she apply the code. And
What's your question?
Question is, I have any chance if I'm never sign it? She take the children without my permission for other country, other state.
You know, unfortunately, this is sort of a legal question that I don't think our experts here today are qualified to answer. We'll certainly do another show about the legal ramifications of custody some other time. Unfortunately, we won't be able to help you with that. But, you know, I'm happy to have a single dad talk about his experiences. So can you share a little bit about your experience with how single parenting has been for you?
Tell you one thing. The good thing is that both the husband and wife that take care of the children is very important for the children, but mostly the that country.
Mm-hmm.
The parents is really responsible for that part. The parents really take care of the children also, the everything.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, the single thing is how to take children, is good and not good, is how to go to study, what he likes, the sports, he likes, what he either like to any other. Some children like the sport, some children don't like the sport, some children like the other way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my opinion is the children, if the good children, if the responsible parents, they really take care of the children.
Were you able to work out a financial arrangement with your ex that was, you know, amicable, that you were able to do it comfortably without any major argument about it?
Yeah, definitely have to, you know, but if you want to, if you are realize for the children growing up and you're doing something, you have to, husband and wife is a both take care of the children.
Right. And, you know, Gurmeet,
if you don't have any wife, it's no work, that's a different story. If she works, have no issue, take care of both people.
Right. You know, that's a really enlightened view. Actually, we have a bunch of other things to talk about with our panelists, but I really thank you, Gurmeet, for appearing on the show. Please continue listening. We'll try and tackle some of the legal issues that you have called about in a future show. Let's get back to our panelists. Thank you, Gurmeet. Now, I know during the break, Anju, Parul, both of you said that there were some mistakes you made that you would really like to share so that other parents don't make the same ones. And I want to ask you to elaborate on those. Parul, if you'd like to take that question first.
I think the most important thing is what Lena brought up is this triangulation where bringing the child in the middle and kind of, you know, letting I mean, both parents need to be careful about the way we talk about them when they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
It always needs to be very, you know, it is an emotional time, and you do tend to just get sometimes a little negative about each other, and
mm-hmm.
that it really hurts the child. So that's number one, to be very, very aware of your emotional, you know, I think mood when you're around your
mm-hmm.
child. And if you
mm-hmm.
do feel that you are in that place where you're not going to come across as being just kind of even keel with them, it's
mm-hmm.
better to just kind of take a step back and kind of regroup your
mm-hmm.
own self before you're really around your child, because that can be really harmful.
You know,
them.
The funny thing is, I think it's hard to do even in a in an existing relationship as a parent.
And that's why I said it's more work sometimes when you're divorced. You think you're getting away and it's going to be better in many ways. It is, but at the same time, it's a lot more effort and work on your part
mm-hmm.
to make sure you're maintaining that for your young child.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What
so
about you, Anju?
Never, if you can, badmouth your ex in front. When you're having conversations with family and friends
mm-hmm.
around, your child is picking up on conversations. You might think they're in the other room, and if other people say something negative about your ex-husband, you always make to,
how,
make
how
to
how
counter
you?
It. You always want to counter it by saying, you know,
give me an example.
Give
me an example of when, you know, you either were in a conversation. I think just not talking to the child about the other spouse, probably easy. But
yeah.
what if you're having a conversation with a friend and the topic comes up? How do you actually deal
and
with it?
And if your child is around?
You're assuming that you are not going to be, yes.
Yeah, you definitely, you know, channel it and just say, oh, how come he's not here to take care of this particular
right.
part? Or how come he's not taking him to the Boy Scout meetings? And he's, you know, this is a boy and dad kind of stuff. And why
right.
are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of have to be, you know, the mature one to just say, you know, well, I'm sure he's got reasons why. And just kind of, if it's possible to give some kind of sign language, if your child's not around, saying, you know what, let's just drop this right here. Because the only one who's going to be hurting out of this conversation is my child. I know you're trying to do this to support me, to make me feel like I have you as my support system, and that's great, but let's not bring it up right here.
Mm-hmm.
And also having these conversations with your friends and you know, and with family who only want to look out for you and want to be like, we're here for you, and this is not fair. But in saying that this is not fair in front of my child, what's the
right.
message he's getting? That my dad is not a good person. And that's the last thing you want your child to feel about your father, because that hurts too much. For a child, both mom and dad are important.
So, Lena,
and they love both. Please don't tear them apart by having these conversations
in front of them.
Never.
Yeah, I will agree with Parul. I think it's extremely important to preserve the relationship of the child with both the parents, and you should do anything and everything you can to preserve that.
And maybe send a message to your friends and family saying this conversation is out of bounds for when the kids are around. Do not talk to me about this.
Exactly.
Preempt it.
Yeah.
Preempt it. Anju, yes, you had something to share.
It's very easy said than done.
Absolutely. Because you're hurting. You're human. You're not a robot.
It's,
and I wanted to ask on that, you know, I just want to sort of slightly digress, is that are you, as a single parent, even whether it is divorce or the passing of a spouse, are you under tremendous pressure to be perfect because you're the only parent around? Anju, would you, do you have?
It's very, yeah, you work extra hard to look perfect. Now, divorce is a different situation than passing away of a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's divorce generally mostly always is kind of a little bitterness and anger and,
mm-hmm.
and it is hard to pretend like, oh, everything is, you know, I'm going to keep cool about the whole thing. And what do you think, Paro?
And also the mistakes, and we were still talking about, you know, the mistakes that you think that you other parents, you just want to, having been through this.
So I was going to continue on that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how we talked about the court making decisions on the, you know, how much support you get and
mm-hmm.
what expenses go where.
Mm-hmm.
And then parents discuss how, what classes kids will go to. So I think, for the parents who are going to, who go through this, the advice would be to keep a fund separate for their activities. So there's
okay.
no argument later. I want him to do chess or I want her to do tennis, and I don't want to pay for this. If you want her to go for this class, then you pay for it. I think the best would be if parents could come up with a fund okay, this is the yearly fund that will go for their activities.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids can choose to do things that none of us would agree on.
Right, right. And I guess the way to approach it, Lena, would be if the child wants to, say, attend an expensive camp, how does this, the one parent say, okay, to the other parent, what's the best way to approach the other parent and say, this is something that's important to the child, and mm-hmm. can you have a contribution on that if the judge hasn't laid it out so much in black and white?
Yeah, and I think having a good communication, no matter how nasty your divorce was, is an extremely important thing. Whether you are primarily just communicating when it comes to just child's needs and child's issues. So, an open communication about, our child is great at this activity and this camp would enhance his talent and this would be a great thing for him for the future, and really helping them understand that this is for his best interest, again, is the way to communicate, rather than, coming across as like, I want you to do this. I think the mediation and always the humble approach helps a lot. I also wanted to add one more thing about we were talking about earlier was, when Parul was sharing that it's extremely important to not triangulate or do the bad mouthing for the spouse. I think we also have to remember that we are the role models for our kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And no matter whether it's single parent or being in a family with another spouse, it is very important to constantly remember we are the role models for our kids. If we don't find out nicer ways to accept others and mediate the conflicts, they are never going to learn that.
But see, this is the thing, Lena. Again, very correct, and everybody agrees that that's the way to go. But I'm sure on a day-to-day basis, it's very, very
extremely
hard.
Difficult.
It's very hard. So, in fact, I'm going to ask both you moms here, what do you do on days when you are feeling absolutely horrible? You've had a bad day at work. Your health is down. How do you manage? What are your coping strategies?
That's a very, very valid and important question to talk about today, I think. I think the most important thing is making sure that emotionally you're okay before you have, these long, extended time with your child. And so when I recognize that, first mm-hmm. of all, surrounding yourself with support system,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that you cannot do this by yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that you're not going to do it perfectly, and
right.
it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to go back and say sorry to your child and save face. It's all right, because mm-hmm. again, like Nina said, it's not about what you say, it's about how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the children are picking up, letting them know that this is hard for me right now,
mm-hmm.
and finding coping strategies that work for you, whether it's going for a long walk, whether it's going for a massage, whether it's just going for a long drive with a friend and getting a coffee. Taking that time away from your child for half an hour is okay, and not feeling that I need to be there 24/7,
mm-hmm.
because it's the quality of your time with them and it's not really the quantity. So recognizing that if you're not in that space, find that thing that works for you to kind of bring you down to that level to kind of be able to be more positive.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I was thinking while you were talking about this, taking a break, that I learned it. Finally, I learned it.
Yeah.
I have realized that if there is a conflict or a question that I need to think about, I don't really need to have an answer right away. I have learned to, how about I come back to you?
Oh, that's
later.
A great strategy. Mm-hmm.
How about
you don't
never
have to give the answers right away? Yes.
You
oh,
take
fabulous.
Yourself out of being on the spot.
Okay.
And you give yourself time to think and manipulate your answer or come up with the right answer.
Right.
And
right.
then go back. Instead of, it was very hard to learn to, hold your control, your anger, and not say anything wrong about your. It's very hard to do that.
It's very
not say
hard
anything
to do that.
About
yes.
your child wants to do certain thing, and there's no support from the other party. It's so hard to say
right.
it's okay. You know what? It's hard for both of us to do it. No, there's
right
certain
now
things
you feel
you
like
can
lashing
do.
Out.
You're like,
yeah.
No, this is best for my child right now, and my child really wants it right now.
Right.
So
right.
let's do it one way or the other. But then to walk away and think about it, come back with a better strategy to handle it, That's one thing I've learned.
I want to take a quick break. We'll just have commercials in this break and we'll come back. We have so much more to talk about, it feels like, and let's see if we can do some more justice to the subject. You're listening to Parent Talk with Vidya. Welcome back to Parent Talk. Today's show was about single parenting. We have a few minutes left with our panel, and I really want to cover a couple of issues that I think that I'm curious about and I think would help our listeners. The first one is, how do we talk to our kids about healthy relationships? And I have the both Anju and Parul have kids who are older and at the point where they are going to develop relationships. And I just want to ask you both, have you had that conversation with them that even though your dad's and I relationship didn't work out, it's possible. It doesn't mean that you cannot have a good relationship. Has that conversation happened?
Yes, it has happened for me. And I actually brought it up to them from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They used to watch. Kids watch their parents arguing, or however hard you may try. Their ears are always logged into what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like you covered last time, they blame themselves. So to make them, keep them out of this whole thing, so I started this, that, you know, there's a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
There's no agreement. That doesn't mean that there are other people that you cannot have a good relationship. And keeping them surrounded by friends and families who have a supportive
mm-hmm.
Environment, you know, they're your own family. They're in a better situation, not divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And
just, you know, showing them other relationships that are successful.
Yeah, you know,
as examples.
It's sad mm-hmm. that ours didn't work out, but it's okay. Everybody has their own, mm-hmm. you know, set of mind and conflicts, but that doesn't mean that nothing works out.
Exactly. And Parul?
I think I agree with her. It's not about telling your child about these things. It's about really having them, surrounding them with people and role models of all different kinds of families.
Right.
It doesn't have to be one particular. And this is not perfect. And even in that perfect mom and dad being together, they still see that there's still tension and there's still that kind of stuff going on. So
right.
It's not black and white. And it's all kinds. And to realize that the most important thing is respect. Respecting the other person, and that is when they see you actually having conversations with their father, their mm-hmm. their mother or their father. That is the part. It's not about what you're saying. Are you treating other people with respect? The
mm-hmm.
father does come. His father does come to the door. How do you treat that
How
person?
Do you interact
it does
with that
not
person?
Matter if mm-hmm. you're divorced. It's just that part is very important. And also talking to them, not about just relationships with just the other sex, but it's important just even, you know, talking about just relationships, their friendships. What is it about that works? What doesn't work? What you noticed about that particular dyad that they just had? You know, the struggles that they're having with just sense of security, whether that friend will be there if they don't do this, this, and this for that child. Will that friend still be there? And talking about it looks like you really are overcompensating maybe in
mm-hmm.
this particular situation because you want him to be your friend, but do you feel you're really being true to yourself and what is important to you? So really having those
conversations. So have you had the conversation?
Has
your child come to you and said and approached you? He's a boy,
yeah.
So probably less.
So less and less as he got older.
Right.
But interestingly, more and more lately.
Oh, is
so
that right?
There was a cycle when there was a lot, and then there was like
teenage
no
where
more,
no more.
And
yeah.
Now it's like I'm feeling like this, and this really sucks, and just validating that yes, it sucks sometimes, but we have it in us to make things better, and let's think about how we can use our resources around to make this better for us. What can help?
I had my daughter ask me, why us? Why me?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, well, why not?
Yeah,
you know,
what is
and
an answer
not,
to that?
And you're not. Yeah. The only ones. There's a conflict in every step of the way in life.
In every relationship.
Yeah. Every relationship.
No,
you'll be working.
Yeah.
You'll have your colleagues. There could be a conflict. So how do you handle that? So.
Right.
In a way, I think our kids will
be tougher.
There's more resilience in some ways, and
yeah.
that flexibility. The mom, dad's house, flexibility, shifting gears,
they
that piece is
out.
Important, and that resilience.
Yeah, they figured
right.
out a
and
lot
coping
more
strategies.
A lot of things that you know, a compact unit family, kids.
Probably, you know, a more shelter.
I at least I want to feel like that, that maybe our kids have
a silver lining.
And they don't take things for granted.
Yeah.
They don't take things for granted.
No, they don't,
value
yes.
it a little bit more, too, mm-hmm. as to what they do get. So,
there's
so definitely
that's an interesting thing.
Side
so,
of,
do yeah. you see that? That oh, we have just 1 minute left. So let me quickly ask the last question that I really wanted to. That in the Indian community, being a single parent, how does that impact your social relationships? Is it tougher, or is it that you've built a like a strong group of friends who are very supportive? But what about the larger society? When you go out, introducing yourself as a single parent, is that a problem?
No, introducing yourself as a single parent is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it was, you know, because of the stigma that comes with it in our society.
Right.
But not anymore. I mean,
and what has caused the change?
A lot of support from the friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, very openness about it. And I think it comes from home, too. You know, your own kids kind of, you know, they see that they go out with friends who have similar situation, and it kind of, you know.
I think the world here receives you just as a human being, and it doesn't matter. But there will be a problem if you yourself are not confident taking mm-hmm. that step forward,
right.
being mm-hmm. a single person. That is going to reflect right back
AM,
in the world.
KZ,
is not
DG,
going to receive you
San
because
Francisco.
You are going there with not that confidence, right?
Yeah,
right.
I agree with Anju and Parul. Yes, you know, I think the acceptance is the first step. When you accept this as a, you know, this is who I am and this is what I
right.
am going to be, and I'm going to, if you are comfortable with that, then, you know, everybody else is. They take you and
create
maybe it's
stigma.
Easier as it goes along. I know a caller who couldn't stay on the line. She said that, you know, she figured out who her friends were when
oh,
her
oh,
marriage
yeah.
broke up. And
yeah.
then, you know, that was, she got a lot of social ostracism for being a divorced parent. But I guess you build your families and
yeah.
your relationships. And I
and
think on that line, we have to come to the end of the show. Thank you, Lena. I think this is such an interesting topic that we'll probably revisit at some point in
sure.
time. And thank you, Parul and Anju, so much for coming here and sharing your stories. Listeners, I hope you got some insight into that. I think the parenting lessons are pretty universal out of what we learn. Next week, we'll be talking about discipline, and I hope that will be an interesting topic as well. You've been listening to Parent Talk. And, just want to quickly mention a support group. Lena has a support group that she wants to talk about for single parents.
Yeah, you know, one of my colleagues runs this group, and it is in San Jose. And the group is called Child and Family Counseling Group, and they are in San Jose. Phone number is 408-839-8634. And basically, this is a group for kids of divorced parents to get support going through the feelings they are going through because of parents'
divorce.
We're going
to put this information up on our the indiacc.org/parenttalk page. We'll provide a link to the podcast of this show and as well as more information. And with that, we absolutely have to go, I see. See you next week. Tune in to Radio Zindagi, same time, same place for another live show on parenting. Bye-bye.